Bibles with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. I do see some ministers that I missed. Brother Carroll, I love you, respect you, appreciate the inspiration you are. Thank you for the encouragement you give and the prayer that you make and what God is doing in your life. I appreciate you and love you. Brother Weeks, my friends here today, I love you, Brother Weeks. Appreciate you very, very much. Brother Callum, God bless you. Appreciate you. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Appreciate our friendship. Thank God. Thank God. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. The words of Jesus, recorded by the beloved physician. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among what? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I want to preach to us a very simple message today. Think global, act local. Think global, act local. Let's pray the Lord's blessings upon the preaching of the word today. God, we lift you up. We know you're mighty. We know you're great. We know you're good. We know, God, all things are possible with you. We know nothing is impossible with you. We know, Jesus, today, that your desire is great upon the earth, that your will is to reach to every heart, every soul, every mind, every individual and every nation, save, redeem and rescue them from sin. Let this word today, oh God, have the impact that you will and you wish in the accomplishment of your will in every area. In Jesus' name. Only you know the potential of this service today, God. You know the potential of every life we give ourselves. Why don't you pray with me right now? God, we give ourselves to you. We become one in your presence. We give ourselves to you, Lord. We yield our hearts, our minds, our body, our spirits to you right now. Today in this place for the accomplishment of your will. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor for what will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you. Some of you may be familiar with this thought. Think global, act local. It's not original with me. It's been around for many years. I've done a little research to try to figure out exactly where it came from. And there is confusion still about who coined this phrase, who come up with this idea. Although it seems to have begun with environmentalists, someone put it like this, and I took it into my phone this morning. The phrase "think globally, act locally" has often been used by environmentalists to sum up a strategy devoted to conserving the Earth's scarce natural resources at the local level. But more recently, business executives borrowed the idea to emphasize the need for building capabilities at the country or regional level, even as they pursue global growth. And now today, the millennial generation of Americans born between 1982 and 2003, it says, these millennials are given the phrase an entirely new meaning as they pursue their efforts to change the world one local community at a time. And so this concept of think global, act local has been used as a motto, as a goal, as a phrase to give direction to many different organizations, many different social groups. And this is what we know, looking into the scriptures, this is a Bible concept. And that's where we read our text this morning in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. As Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he told his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He gave to his disciples global vision. He let them know clearly and expressly that he wanted the gospel to go to the far ends of the earth, to go to every creature of all nations. We know that the law, Judaism, if you please, was given to the Hebrews. It was for the Jews. Judaism has never meant, or the law was never meant to go to the whole world. It was given to the Jews, to the Hebrews. And so it was that when Jesus established his kingdom, he wanted to let them know clearly and emphatically that this was not an exclusive kingdom, that it would be only for a certain select group of people such as the Jews, but this gospel, this kingdom that he was establishing would be an inclusive kingdom of all nations, all people, all around the globe. Hallelujah. And he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that the Lord wants to visit our generation with a fresh burden and a fresh vision to reach our world. In just the last little while, we have reached in our world the number of over 7 billion people living on the face of the earth. I remember when I was sitting where you are sitting, used to hear Brother Jonathan Alvear preach. And as he preached, I remember hearing him talk about how that there were 5 billion people on the face of the earth, and how that we have a grave responsibility to reach our world. And as I listened, I remembered and held that number in my mind. But today, as I'm preaching the gospel, there's already 2 million people that's been added to earth's population. And I'm saying, oh God, do we have the laborers that are taking the vision, the burden, the desire, the weight upon their heart, their mind, and their shoulders, even to match the population growth that is happening in our world today? Can I tell you, I believe God has the ability through us who know him to impact our world and reach those that can be reached with the gospel in our time. I believe today the Lord wants to put a passion in your heart, young people, to put a vision in your mind and in your soul that says, God, I want to be willing and I want to be a worker in your kingdom. I want to be a harvester. I want my hands in the harvest. There's a lot that needs to be done, and I want to do my part. You've brought me into this world not just so I could know you. Thank you for the privilege to know you, Lord. But you have allowed me to come for my life to be a blessing, and my mouth to be a witness, and my hands to be a help and a strength and a support, and my feet to carry the gospel of Christ. And I'm committed to doing your will with my life. You gave me my life. You gave me free will, God. And now I give myself back to you. And I say, here I am, Lord. Use me as you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's no telling how many souls could be won by the lives that are represented right here in this youth camp today. Amen. There's no telling the lives that you can reach and help save with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God could just motivate you and get you to start opening your mouth and witnessing, to start testifying and telling of the goodness of the Lord. I tell you where it starts. It starts with personal deliverance. And you, when you get free, when you yourself experience the power of God, you can't hold it back. There is a word. Amen. There is an anointing. There is an unction that God puts in you that causes you to want to open your mouth and tell the good things that God has done for you. Young people, quench not the Spirit. I don't have to tell you you should do it. When you get full of the Holy Ghost and God transforms you and God touches you, when you know Him, you will speak for Him. Hallelujah. 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 I want to remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Amen. The Holy Ghost is power to be effective in our world. Power to be effective in our generation. Power to speak and see God work. Power to sing and see hearts touched. Amen. You have an anointing through the infilling of the Holy Ghost that'll give you an invisible effectiveness in the world. You're not just another singer. You're not just another Christian. God is with you. And with God all things are possible. Matthew 28 says it like this: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." I want to remind you, God doesn't want to leave anybody out. The heart of God, the mind of God is to every nation. We may look at people and they may dress different. They may look different. They may act different. We may be uncomfortable in their presence. Let me tell you, Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. I think we do it right when we raise our children singing, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." And also to teach them that Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I think we do it right when we teach our children to sing, "Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is." We got to get it in our heart, and we got to get it in our youth at a young age. We don't need to waste our days. We don't need to waste our youth. We need to spend our youth and our passion to getting to know God and establishing a work for God in our lives. Hallelujah. 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 We need to be able to sing, "Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you and me." Amen. You need to be personally convinced of the love of God. And you need to be able to spread it all over this world. Jesus loves you. Can I just throw this in today? There's some people think that holiness drives sinners away. Jesus was so holy, people wanted to be with Him. Jesus was so holy, people wanted to get in His presence. I'm telling you, the world is hungry for something that'll satisfy. The world is hungry for true love. The world is hungry for peace and joy and satisfaction. And they can find it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants to be used of the Lord? How many wants to be used of the Lord? Oh God, help me. Give me a vision. Put my feet, God, to running. Put my mouth to speaking. Put my heart to beating. A passion for the lost in this world. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Oh, I pray that God would visit some young people afresh. Can I say it kind of crudely, the way they used to say it? Is that I was praying and there were some brown-faced people that I couldn't get out of my mind. As I prayed, I couldn't. They weren't my color. But as I walked with God, He put a burden on me. He put a vision. It just started. It started with a vision. And a visitation from God. And a young person acted upon it. I'm telling you, the voice of the Lord is in this place today. And the eyes of the Lord are still going to and fro. And He's looking. He's looking. He's looking to show Himself strong. He's just needing some young people to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me just stop and say, aren't you glad you understand that's the name of Jesus? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm with you and I'm staying with you. You'll never be by yourself. You step out for me. You step out with me and I won't forsake you. You won't ever have to worry about me letting you down. I've called you. I've anointed you. I've appointed you, and you just do my will and you can count on my grace, and my grace will be sufficient. You will never be left alone. Don't do it without me, Lord. I don't want to do it without you, Lord. I don't want to do it without you, Lord. I need you. And let me tell you, He has promised to go with us always. About to trip. He's I am a trip, huh? I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He's not just saying there the world in an earthly sense. The world in the inhabitants sense. He's not just talking about the world as a group of people. He's not just talking about the world as the earth there. When He says, I am with you all the way to the end of the world, He's talking about the age. He's talking about the dispensation. He's talking about the time. He said, I want you to go and I want you to know I'm going with you all the way to the end of this dispensation, all the way to the end of this era. I'm just telling you, until Jesus comes, the great commission is, go ye into all the world. It still stands today. We're still in the age of grace. The gospel is the message to the whole world. Amen. Young people, get it in your heart. I want to speak it for you, Lord. I want to speak it for you, Lord. I want to speak it for you, Lord. Until Jesus comes, we got to keep telling it. We got to keep preaching it. We got to keep speaking of it. We got to keep singing about it. We got to keep testifying about it. We got to keep teaching Bible stuff. We got to keep doing it till Jesus comes. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Aren't you glad how the Lord says things? He doesn't just say, I want it to happen. He says, it's going to happen. There's people that's going to give themselves to me. They're going to hear my word. They're going to feel my heart. They're going to receive their calling, their mission. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come.
It's a simple truth you already know. But Jesus said it in His Word. He's not coming back until the gospel goes unto the world. As the righteous judge, the eternal judge, He's going to establish a testimony in all of the world that whenever man stands before Him, they can't say, "You didn't give me a chance. You didn't give me an opportunity." He's establishing a witness and a testimony in every nation. I wonder what the Lord wants to do with your life, young person. I wonder. People all throughout the Scriptures, Jeremiah, Paul, they all was able to state clearly, "I was born with a purpose." Samson, born with a purpose. John the Baptist, born on a mission. You were born on a mission. You won't ever be one of them, but you have your place. You have your work. What is it? Where does God want you to work in the kingdom? I can tell you this, it changes. It changes from time to time. It does. Sometimes you may be a landscaper at the church. Sometimes, we can't hardly talk about this without going to the bathroom, can we? You might have to work the plunger. I hate doing that. Sometimes, you may be the water boy. Pastor's wife may call and say, "Can you come help me?" Sunday school teacher say, "Can you come help me put up some things on the wall?" We may have small beginnings sometimes. That doesn't mean it'll end that way. Sometimes you may be just a late preacher. And you may stay a lay preacher the rest of your life. That may be God's calling. Maybe God has a plan that brings you beyond the local church. Into the harvest. Out of your assembly. May become an evangelist. Missionary. Pastor. Your jobs will change. Don't get hung up in one spot. And don't get offended if your pastor wants to move you around a little bit. God may be developing skills and using you in this area and moving you around. What I'm telling you, you got to think global. Our mission is to reach the world. But I'm going to tell you, it starts local. It starts with cutting grass. And what, quote, little you do in the local setting, you may not see it, but it's playing a part in the big picture of the work of God. Who shall despise the day of small things? I'm going to tell you what the Lord wills for us to do. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. If you're praying, praying with everything you got. If you're singing, sing with everything you've got. If you're leading the service, do it to the best of your ability. It may only be 12 people there that night, but actually the Lord is in the house. And I want to do good for Jesus. I want to do good for the kingdom. I want to do good for the glory of the Lord. Because as I give it my best, God will increase the government of His kingdom and grow His work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just throw this nugget. Listen, you may not always be at your best. And you're not always going to be at your best. But you can always give it your best.
Don't ever let a sloppy, careless attitude come over you in the local setting. Amen. Because if you start entertaining that attitude, you'll never get to where God wants you to go globally in His kingdom. Amen. You got to be committed to excellence every day of your life. I'm in the presence of God. My life has purpose. And no matter how small, how menial, how insignificant my task is today, this is just a training ground to get me for where God wants me to go in the kingdom. Woo, let's praise Him. Come on. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we have people who become impatient. They got a call of God on them. They got an anointing of God on them. God's going to use them. They're going to be something in the kingdom. They're going to be a Joseph. And the stars and the suns and the moons are going to bow down. The moon? Yeah, the moon is going to bow down to him. Not moons, but moon and sun. And the Bible lets us... Boy, I'm good, huh? Whew. All I can say, at least I catch half of what I do wrong. Somebody told me after service the other day, I had blind Bartimaeus, or blind man, sitting at the gate, and John and whoever he was. No. We have a calling. God's going to use us. And He shows us, and He puts in us the confirmation of where He's bringing us to. But like Joseph, there's a lot of hidden parts to our dream. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but sometimes God allows the dream that He gives us to die before He fulfills it in our life. Can I tell you, when Joseph stood before the king to interpret his dream and was appointed as prime minister of Egypt, the Bible let us know that while he was in that dungeon, he had forgot his dream. It wasn't until the Lord had brought him out that he remembered his dream. I'm going to tell you, sometimes things have got to die in us because we want it so bad. We think we got to make it happen. And God doesn't need our help to bring it to pass. He doesn't need our help in that it becomes a work of the flesh. We don't need to show who we are. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let Him exalt us in due season. That's where Moses got in trouble. Moses understood clearly that God wanted him to be the deliverer. His mother was able to persuade him that God wanted to use him and that he was a special young man. And reading in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that he believed that he was the leader. And so when he saw his brothers and sisters being abused by the Egyptians, he saw the taskmaster being hard on his brother. He went and killed him. Started taking it in his own hand. Got himself in trouble. Had to run to the backside of the desert for 40 years. 40 years learning he was a somebody. Had to go 40 years to learn he was a nobody. And then God visited him at the burning bush and said, "All right, I got a work for you to do. I'm ready." And he's like, "I'm not ready." Sometimes dreams die in us because it's got to die that we are not the ones that's got to bring it to pass. We've got to step back. God will bring it to where it dies. I've been honest. I've been honest with you. I've told my story here. I've never preached my story about me being patient and being at Jennings like I've told it here. So I might as well just say it to kind of make it a little more plain here today. I went to Jennings to do the will of God. God impressed me. I was convinced that God wanted me to go to Jennings. I'm going to tell you, the only reason I survived is that I was so persuaded. But it did get to the place where I did wonder. Get to the place to where, okay, God,
It's not my plan. It's not my dream. I don't know. I don't even know if I've heard from you now. When I could let it die, God put it back in my hands and said, you can have it. I don't know if you understand all I'm saying right now, but those of you that can understand what I'm saying right now. Need to learn to work like a servant. Act local. Local. Not loco. I speak English. Sometimes. Sometimes God gives you a dream and then He kills it. Because it's not ours to fulfill. It's His. It's His plan. It's His purpose. It's His dream. You'll die to yourself again and again and again and again in the local setting. Because when God puts you in a global setting, He needs a dead man. He needs one that's not proud and not arrogant. Not self-willed. One that He can lay His hand on. And use them. Work through them. Where they're not standing up there for their own glory. They're not standing up there for their own praise. They're just there for the kingdom of God. And they know if God took His blessings and favor away, they would be nothing. They're working and they're laboring in the fear of the Lord. They're like the Apostle Paul saying, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Young people, God's going to help you do it. God's going to help you to get there. It's going to take a lot of tears. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of fasting. It's going to take a lot of self-denial. It's going to take a lot of taking wrong. I'm telling you, it's not easy to serve God and man. But when you're a help, that's what you're doing. You can get messed up if you just focus on the fact that you're helping somebody and not doing the work of God. Oh, I'm not being mean. Do you feel like I'm getting angry? I'm just preaching today. But I feel like preaching right now. Hallelujah. You can get crossed up. If you start serving man, if you think the preacher's just got you doing something because he don't want to do it, you better stay in the Spirit. And whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord. Do it as to the Lord. Do it with all your might and do it as unto the Lord, not as men pleasers. So I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go out of a local church setting without the blessing of your man of God. You don't want to go into the global work of God to go do something great and not have divine favor on your life. You need the man of God to be able to lay his hand on you and say, you have my blessing. There's nothing like going with the blessing of God from the man of God into the global work of God. We need young people that says, God, use me on a local level. I may go to a global work of God one of these days, but right now I'm going to do in my local church everything I can do. My pastor will be able to count on me. My church will be able to count on me. I will be a solid rock in a world of shifting sand for my assembly. They can count on my prayer. They can count on my financial support. They can count on my worship. They can count on my involvement. Hey, it is about being used. It is about being you. Let the Lord use you. Let your local church use you. I'm not talking about being abused.
But we are being used of God. There's four things you need to focus on. Number one, you need to focus on your personal devotion. You need to focus on a personal walk with God. If you don't have anything else, you need a walk with God. Every day you need to pray. You need to study the Word of God. You need to become familiar with the Word of God. If God has a plan for your life, and He does, it's going to involve the power of His Spirit and the Word of God. There's a lot of people that seek God, but they mostly seek Him in the spirit of prayer. We need people that will seek God through His Word in this generation and have the balance of spirit and truth. Because spiritual people can be misled. But if you'll judge what you feel and what you experience in the spirit by the solid rock of the Word of God, you will be successful in a world of deception. And so while I may preach conferences one of these days, I may be a Sunday school teacher one of these days, I'm not going to wait till then to learn my Bible and learn how to pray. Right now in my local church, I need to learn how to pray. I need to learn my Bible. How am I going to reach the world with the gospel if I can't reach my school with the gospel? If I can't reach my city with the gospel? I know what it's like to be raised on an apostolic pew. It's not easy sometimes to just activate yourself in the work of God of soul winning. But you need to do it till you get comfortable. Just like praying. The only way you're going to get comfortable praying and to learn how to pray is pray. We can preach to you and teach to you how to pray and what it's like to pray. But the only way that you'll ever learn how to pray is pray, brother. And pray, sister. The only way you can do it, you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to open your mouth. You got to pray in your bedroom. You got to pray when nobody's at the church. You got to pray when you're driving down the... You got to pray! People can teach you the Word of God and help you to gain understanding, but nobody can help you to learn all that you need to learn on your own. God's plan and purpose for your life is for you to get personally acquainted. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You may be the janitor of the church. That may be the plan of God for the rest of your life. Send us some, Lord. Still need to know how to pray. Need to know this book. Because you may be at the church pushing the vacuum cleaner. Saying, oh my God, is this my purpose? Don't go that fast. Be a little slower and do it. The phone rings at the church. First Pentecostal Church. That's our church. Do it, Lord. First Pentecostal Church. I was just wondering, what time service is tonight? 7:30. I've been praying, and the Lord's been dealing with me. I didn't know what time church started tonight, but I felt like I wanted to call, and God wants me in your service tonight. Oh, yeah. It is the Lord. There's no doubt. God wills you to be here. We want you to be here. We'll love you. We got a loving church. We got a praying church. God's going to talk to you when you get church tonight. God's going to talk to you when you get to church tonight. Yeah. Have you ever had a Bible study? Have you ever heard about the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I'll meet with you when I leave the church. There's no telling what God can do with your life.
I never thought of that illustration, but I'm going to encourage some young ladies and some young men to start pushing some vacuum cleaners. I'd like to hear one of these days that the Lord helped you to win somebody to the Lord while you was vacuuming the church. Think global. Act local. Build a personal relationship with God. Number two. Be a Martha for your church. That's a worker. That's the lady who worked hard. If you want to get where God wants you to go, these are four things you need to focus on. You need to focus on a personal relationship with God. Number two, you need to commit yourself to being a Martha. Guys, I'm not trying to get you to be girly men, I promise. We got enough of that. I tell you what we need. We need some men. And I'm going to tell you, God puts it naturally in a man to want to work and provide. And we need some workers in the kingdom. Pastor, when it's work day, you can count on me. Doesn't matter if it's after work in the evening or Saturday when I was going to go. That's my weakness, okay? So I'm preaching this. That's not a weakness. Praise God. I feel better now. Brother Crawford Coon told me one time, he said, if you can go fishing 9 days in a row, you better go. There's going to be a season you can't go. And you're going to be wishing you was fishing. I haven't got to do that yet. Everybody say, preach, Townley. All right, I'll get back on track here. Martha, be a worker. Be a laborer. Who's willing to get your hands dirty for the glory of God? I know what it's like for my dad to give me a special spring break. I'll never forget it. My spring break was working at the church. And I thank God for it. I wasn't abused. I love God. And I love the work of God. I thank God for parents that taught me. Mom and Dad just didn't go because they felt like they needed to go. They brought me and taught me. Work. Hey, the work of God is just that. It's the work. Lazy people's not going global. Uninvolved people's not going global. I'll tell you who'll get there. It's the workers. But whatever their hand finds to do. Whatever they're asked to do. I told you this already, but let me just share it because it fits here today. I walked up to Brother McDaniel. I finally got to that moment where I had the courage to walk up to him and say, Brother McDaniel, I want you to know I feel called to preach. He looked at me and he said, just keep doing what you're doing. Whatever we've been asking you to do, you've been doing it. You just keep doing what you've been asked to do. And the Bible said a man's gift will make room for himself and bring him before great men. That was my deep, encouraging, long conversation that the pastor took with me when I finally talked to him about my great call to the global ministry that God has for me. That's all he needed to say. Because he summed it up. When God has a plan and God has a purpose, I just put my hands to working and doing everything I can do, and he gets me there. I have a calling, if I have a gift, it'll be apparent. And the men that need to know will know it and see it and recognize it. And if they need help, they'll ask for it. Did you catch that last part? They'll ask for it. Have to push yourself, Moses. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to promote yourself. Just work, work, work. And let the work call you to another work, and another work, and another work, and another work. Be a Martha. You want to see the miraculous power of God? Be a servant. I mentioned Brother Alviar twice today. I thought of it this morning. I thought of a message I heard him preach when I was younger called The Servant's No. In the marriage where Jesus turned the water into wine. Anybody ever heard him preach that? The governor of the feast drank the wine and said, "Woo! No, I didn't say that. He just drank the wine. He said, "Man, you normally serve the sloppy stuff last. Where'd you get this?" The crowd didn't know. But I tell you, the people that knew, it's the people that Jesus looked to and said, "Fill the pots with water." They're pouring in water. It becomes wine. It's the servants that see the miraculous power of God. They know where it come from. Because I'm going to tell you, we can work to our fingers or to the bone and we can't get it done. The work of God is beyond us. It's greater than us. It's beyond our ability to come up with thoughts and music. It takes the anointing of God. It takes the power of God. It takes the miraculous visitation of God upon us to help us and to change us to become the people that He wants us to be. You need to be a Martha. You need to focus on the personal relationship with God. Number two, you need to be a Mary. You need to be a worshiper. Worshiper, 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 worshiper. When you come to the house of God, you need to worship God. You need to be singing. You need to be shouting. You need to be praising God from the depths of your heart. It's not all in the jump. It's not all in the run. But you need to be exalting God from the bottom of your heart and the depths of your soul. Be a worshiper. That is the needful part. I'm at church tonight because I want to be God. I'm at church tonight to meet with you. I'm at church tonight to give you glory. I'm at church tonight to make you happy. I was created by you and for you. And now I give you glory. And finally, number four, I'm going to move on past that. I'll save that for the preacher tonight. I'm going to save you a little bit, brother. I'm not going to try to preach it all. We need to be a Lazarus. I'm not trying to make you masculine women. Somehow that's not as funny as girly men. But I'm just as serious because we got a problem with that in this world. It's just as bad or worse. Anyway. I'm just reminding you, and I'm not rebuking you, I'm reminding you. So, I need to be a Lazarus. Lazarus is the living witness of the resurrection power of God. After Jesus raised him from the dead, they sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. because he was a testimony of the miraculous power of God. They wanted to kill the witness. What I'm trying to tell you, the enemy is trying to kill your witness. Amen. But purpose in your heart. I'm going to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you what God is looking for in this generation. He's looking for some more 10 and 15 year old prayer warriors. 16, 17, 18, 19 year old prayer warrior. That's what he needs. He needs some more teenagers that are skilled in teaching Bible studies and reaching the lost. This is what God wants. This is what God wills for your life. You were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, to reach the lost in this world. Think global and act local. Amen. Why don't you go home saying, when I go to the park, I'm looking for a soul. When I walk down the street, I'm looking for a soul. When I go to the job, I'm looking for a soul. When I go through my days, I'm looking for a soul. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a witness of the power of God. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. I want to win souls for Christ. Of late I've been praying. I'm saying, God, I want you to give me a soul winner's wisdom. Because your word said, he that winneth souls is wise. I'm praying, God, give me soul winner's conviction. Because I need to believe it. I need to be bold. I need to understand that if we don't tell them, they're going to be lost. And it matters to me whether my families are lost or not. It matters to me whether my friends are lost or not. God, give me some conviction. Put this passion deep in my soul. And God, help me. Help me to have a conviction about soul winning that says I gotta do it. God's not pleased with me if I'm not doing it. He called me to follow him to make me a fisher of men. Put in a conviction in my soul. Put a conviction in my soul concerning the gospel that there is no other gospel. That I'll speak it lovingly, kindly, for the purpose of saving their soul. But speak it with confidence. God, give me soul winner's wisdom. Give me soul winner's conviction. And give me soul winner's courage. To open my mouth. Open my mouth. And speak. Let's stand together. That's. I know you're just sitting. Thank you for your patience. Sorry I psyched you. We need courage. I know what it's like. I was driving down the road one time. Driving down the interstate. Somebody passed me up on the street. No, on the interstate. I don't know why. I've never forgot it to this day. Because this is a moment my soul failed. And yet we were being Jehu. Going swiftly. All of a sudden, guy passed me. I felt such a passion in my heart, a burden in my heart. I didn't know how to stop him. I could have. I didn't know who he was. And got him to pull over. I wonder what I missed that day. Did I miss anything at all? But I'm telling you, I know what it's like to feel the need to invite, yet there's a fear. Am I going to be accepted? Am I going to be rejected? What are they going to think of me? Are they ready? Can I tell you, it's never the devil to encourage you to invite somebody to the house of the Lord. If you invite somebody to the house of the Lord that doesn't need to come, your preacher will take care of it. If there's sin of the devil, your preacher will take care of it. You just tell him, come. If anybody ever asks you if Jesus loves them, tell them Jesus loves them. Because if they care whether Jesus loves them or not, there's hope for them. If they don't care, there's no hope. But if they ask that question and they're concerned, and there's hope for them. What you have inside of you, if you'll just pray and let the anointing work, know God, let Him lead you, let Him guide you, it'll make you effective in every setting. You don't have to wait till you go global to be powerful. In your local church, let God make you powerful in your local setting and bring you to whatever His will is. One story and I'm closing. Some of you may know Brother Carl Fowler attends Brother Hood's church in the Atlanta area. Right after Brother Carl Fowler received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anybody know him? Is he an awesome singer or what? Right after he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he'd probably never tell this story. But he got in trouble. Somebody stole his checkbook. Started writing hot checks. The authorities got the checks. He wouldn't tell you this story, not by what I'm telling you now. It's the end, because he wouldn't want to brag on himself. The authorities, this is his checks. They went and picked him up. And he's like, man, I didn't write those checks. So I stole my checkbook. He got locked up. Here he is, a new convert. He's like, just got the Holy Ghost. Everything was going to be lovely. I'm in prison. I mean, with the jailbirds. He said he started praying and talking to God. He said God spoke to him and said, hey, do what you do. He's like, all I do is pray. All I do is teach Bible studies. All I do. Oh, I better get this message finished. God help me, Jesus. I'm ending it good. I'm ending it good. All I do, God, is sit around and chew bubble gum. All I do is pray. Study my Bible. And teach Bible studies. Okay, God, if you want me to just do what I do, that's what I do. And he started teaching Bible studies right there in the jail cell. And before he got out, he had two people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter where you are, what's going on. You just do what you do. Let's do what we do. Let's pray. Let's sing. Let's worship. Let's study. Let's pray. Let's teach. Let's do the work of God. No matter where our locale is. And let God grow His kingdom for His glory. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. How many will step forward and say, God, here I am. I receive this word into my heart. Where I'm going is hinging greatly on me doing the best where I am. I'm ready. I'm ready. Make my life a diverse life. Powerful personal devotion. Let me be a worker. Let me be a witness. Let me be a worshiper. Let me give it all I've got in my world.
Give myself away.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord.
I give myself away.
Go ahead.
So you can use me. I give myself away.
Come on, let the Lord turn your troubles into a manifestation of His glory. Let God turn that little seed desire into a mighty blessing for His kingdom.
I give myself away.